A Breakfast Huddle with Elliot Danker, Yasmin Yonkers, and Ryan Hwan. Replay from Money FM 89.3.
We are more than a week into a standoff with the opposition. Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro says he's willing to negotiate now into this time. So what's next for this troubled South American country, where there have been violent street demonstrations erupting last week after opposition leader Juan Guaido declared during a major opposition rally in Caracas that he had assumed the presidential powers under the constitution and that he planned to hold fresh elections to end Nicolas Maduro's dictatorship.
All this comes amid U.S. sanctions against Venezuela, aimed at denying Mr. Maduro access to money from selling oil. By the way, the U.S. is Venezuela's biggest customer. They buy 40% of its oil exports. What's next for Venezuela? And really, the big question is, how much should we worry? Well, we get the thoughts of our guest this morning on the phone, Rob Carnell, head of research and chief economist, Asia-Pacific ING Bank. Rob, good morning.
Morning.
Are you at all doing any prep for Chinese New Year, or is it just chill? Because I'm looking at your number, it's a Singapore line, so I assume you're based here?
Yeah, based here, yeah.
So just looking forward to 2 days holiday, yeah?
Oh, definitely, yes. It'll come soon enough, frankly.
But definitely keeping his eye on Venezuela, which does not celebrate Chinese New Year. So, Rob of ING Bank, thank you for joining us. Can you give us the background as to how Venezuela got into this bad economic shape in the first place? I'll give you some background here. Hyperinflation last year at 80,000%, and more than 3 million people have already fled the country. Rob, give us your take.
Yeah, well, actually, I think the IMF put the inflation figure at more than 1,000,000%. But when you get to those sorts of stupid levels, you know, what's the difference between 80,000 and 1,000,000? It's just ridiculous hyperinflation. How you get into this shape is years of cronyism, stuffing your ministries, your oil firm with incompetent lackeys who are just basically your loyalists who don't have a clue how to either run a country or how to run an oil firm, spending vast amounts of money on social schemes that you can only afford when the oil price is about $140 a barrel, and then not knowing how to finance them when oil falls and production falls in your oil firm because you can't actually run it properly, and then printing the money to find the difference. That's how you get into it. And then cheating in all the presidential elections. That'll do it.
Rob, could you walk us through what's playing out now? Help us understand why there is so much international support for the opposition leader, Juan Guaido. I mean, he's only 35 years old. You've mentioned all the problems earlier on, but we're talking about support from big players, the US, Canada, a lot of Western countries as well.
Well, I think part of it is a sort of humanitarian view on Venezuela. I mean, it used to be a very wealthy country. And as you pointed out, I mean, it's been its economy has been utterly wrecked. 90% of the population is living in poverty. People are sort of eating wild fruit to survive and scavenging through refuse. There's been a huge displacement of the population, which, of course, the U.S. is very sensitive to with its concerns over immigration. Now, the real sort of political reason here is presidential elections last year in which Nicolas Maduro effectively banned all the opposition parties from competing in, so he won. And the National Assembly, which he doesn't control, he sort of does reflect a bit more the will of the people, used a bit of the constitution that said if there isn't really a president, then the head of the National Assembly can assume this role. So that's where Juan Guaido came in. That was his position at that time. And so sort of almost by default, he's been catapulted up to be the, let's call him the acting president, while the world is slightly squabbling over who's going to support whom. But a lot of support there. The US is behind him. The EU, not surprisingly, perhaps is sitting on the fence a little bit, but most of South America has got firmly behind him.
Okay. Rob Carnell's on the line with us, head of research and chief economist of Asia-Pacific at ING Bank. So Venezuela, a troubled South American country, but we've got to take it home to us here in Asia. How much of an impact does the happenings and the shenanigans in Venezuela have on our part of the world, especially on market sentiment, Rob?
Well, it shouldn't have too much. This is quite a localized affair. I mean, the problems in Venezuela are substantially local ones, domestic. But, of course, have been, perhaps less so now, a major oil player. So the possibility for there to be some disruption to oil prices there. I'll maybe come on to that in a second. But I think that the reality is you've got to bear in mind that whenever there's, you know, a little ripple somewhere in the world, you know, the butterfly effect can always escalate that into something bigger. We saw that last year when Argentina and Turkey, two countries which have, you know, on the face of it, very little to do with Asia, started to run into problems. And then very soon we were seeing this coming through, and a lot of emerging market currency turmoil and pressure on central banks to be raising rates. So never rule it out. It does look as if it's very much a Venezuelan affair at the moment, possibly some oil impact, but you never know.
Mm. If a Venezuelan effect goes into an American effect, it will ripple and just cause earthquakes, I think, as well. There's a possibility, no?
Yeah, sure. I mean, the U.S. is still looking reasonably firm at the moment, in spite of Fed Chairman Jerome Powell's rather dovish assessment last night. And I think the U.S. doesn't really need the Venezuelan oil. I mean, it was almost importing it as a favor to Venezuela, refining it, and then sending back the refined products to it. So it can live quite happily without this. But, of course, rising oil prices, if that is one of the consequences of this, could feed through into the consumer pocket in the US and could crimp growth a little bit.
Speaking of oil.
I mean, you mentioned oil, but we've got US sanctions on Venezuela's state-owned oil firm PDVSA. Venezuela is a big oil producer. We've talked about that. They hold the presidency for OPEC as well this year. With all of that in mind, what are the implications?
Well, I would imagine Venezuela is going to be quite happy to see production cuts. It can't get the oil out of the ground anyway because it's PDVSA company doesn't have people in place who are sufficiently competent to be able to do that. So it can't get the volumes out. The only way it can gain income is if the price stays high. Venezuelan output has been falling anyway. Last year it fell more than Saudi Arabia cut, and that wasn't deliberate. That was because they just were incapable of getting it out of the ground. So you'd imagine them taking a fairly hawkish view on production from other members of OPEC and trying to push that price higher.
I want to ask about oil prices in general. Where do you suppose they're headed in view of the global growth slowdown we keep hearing about, especially in China? And, you know, Rob, we're just stepping away from Venezuela just for a moment.
Yeah, so there is a fair bit of to and fro in oil prices. There's a supply story going on, which is really driven by the OPEC Plus group, that's OPEC plus Russia, really trying to curtail supply and get oil back into balance with global demand. Now, the problem with that is, of course, global growth, global demand isn't particularly strong right now. China, of course, is slowing. You know, Asia as a whole is not looking particularly robust. The EU has moved from, you know, very strong at the beginning of 2018 to pretty soft now. And then we've got Brexit and a whole bunch of other things going on in the background as well. So I think that the net take on all of this is oil prices are moving higher, but they're going to grind higher at a glacial pace. I don't think we're going to wake up tomorrow and see spot crude pushing through $75 a barrel, but that's the direction that it's headed. It might take all year to get there.
Rob, we've covered a lot this morning. Help us out, finally, with a bit of a summary and hypothetical. What's next for Venezuela? What are the likely scenarios we can expect?
Well, it's very difficult, this. Now, this is a country on the brink of almost civil war, and it really depends very much on whether Juan Guaido can convince the military to move away from Nicolas Maduro. That could be helped by these sanctions from the U.S. on oil. After all, you've got to pay the military to keep them loyal, and if you can't get the earnings from the oil sales, then you can't pay them, and then all of a sudden their loyalty might evaporate. That's where we are, but it could turn very ugly. We might see violence erupting in the streets. You know, there was some suggestion that the U.S. might move troops to Colombia to try and quell any kind of bigger population shifts. It could turn very ugly. Very difficult to say. All sorts of scenarios possible. The best one, of course, would be Nicolas Maduro would agree to some way of stepping away from the presidency to allow either Guaido or for new presidential elections fairly held, which he'd almost certainly Guaido would almost certainly win. But, you know, it's impossible to say right now.
We appreciate your thoughts, analysis and time on the phone with us today. Rob Carnell from ING Bank, Head of Research and Chief Economist of Asia Pacific. And Rob, here's a little fun fact for today. Did you know it's Hug an Economist Day?
I did not know that. I will not be telling my colleague Prakash.
but you are getting hugs from all of us on the Breakfast Huddle team. That's hugs.
Oh, that's delightful.
Hugs from one man and three women. Powerful stuff, no?
Consider the hugs reciprocated.
Oh, you're beautiful. Thank you very much, Rob Carnell. Have a great day.
Cheers, you too.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.